it is Christmas time, and that means for most people it is, you know, time to watch a Christmas movie. Now, I know actually here at 2SER, Jeff Field, the news director, he always watches Love Actually every year with his partner, or I mean future husband, Jason, and his cat, Moe. And personally, I always watch Fantasia with my parents. But we do have someone who's coming on the line who has watched over 1,000 Christmas movies and written a book about them. So it's fascinating stuff. We've got Lauren Rosewarne here. Now, Lauren, firstly, what prompted you to decide to watch 1,000 Christmas movies? I mean, they're not known for their, you know, brilliance, as it were.
No, and on hindsight, I don't think I would ever do it again. If I had a choice, I wouldn't watch 1,000. No, it was a grueling... What started off as I thought would be a fun experience actually turned into be torturous. But initially it started, I was in a hotel room, there was a very treacly Christmas film playing. I thought it seemed like an interesting riff on A Christmas Carol, so I thought I'd look into this issue a bit more deeply about what's the undercurrent of our Christmas films and the themes in them. And to do that, it meant watching a whole lot of them and trying to find similarities and themes and work out what they tell us about the perfect Christmas and also about things like cultural and social and political values.
All right, so what is the perfect Christmas if you go by the movies?
If you go by the movies, it's the family are all together. They are around the table. There is no conflict. Conflict, if they had any, has been overcome. There's often a sense of reunion. There is a harking back to Christmases of old. There's themes of nostalgia. And generally, there's multi-generations in the room together. So it'll be grandparents, kids, grandchildren, all celebrating together is the ideal. You don't spend Christmas on your own. You don't spend Christmas in a bar. There's lots of don'ts from Christmas films that give us some very clear messages of inappropriate ways, as well as the good ideal Christmases.
Now, I mean, I was going to ask you for your favourite, but actually what I really want to know is what is the worst one you watched? Like, what was the criteria for being the worst?
That's tricky because most of them I ended up hating, and that's not a joke. I hated most films that I saw. The Elf Who Saved Christmas is a particularly bad one. It is poorly acted. It makes no sense. There's a girl who needs a heart transplant and somehow an elf gets it for her. That said, I also hate any Christmas film that involves talking dogs.
Oh, okay.
I love dogs, but dogs can't save Christmas, and I don't want to see another attempt with a dog saving Christmas. That said, probably worse than Dogs Who Save Christmas are Cats Who Save Christmas, because I don't like cats, and I don't think they have any skills to save Christmas.
Okay, so, I mean, if you were going to give advice to, you know, one of the brilliant directors, you know, of today, and they're going to make a Christmas movie, what would you tell them?
Well, that's an interesting question, because great directors tend not to make Christmas films now. They did. If you think about Frank Capra, for example, one of the great directors, he directed It's a Wonderful Life, but that actually wasn't a Christmas film when it came out. We've come to think about it as a Christmas film, but Christmas doesn't come into the film until over an hour into the narrative. Today, Christmas films are predominantly made for television. They're not generally going to be blockbusters, nor will they ever be for Oscar contention. That said, if you're trying to make a good one, I think it needs to speak to an audience on an emotional level. We need to get a bit teary. We need to feel a bit nostalgic. We need to feel as though we wish we had the Christmas presented on screen. I think that's why for a lot of us, myself and presumably you mentioned one of your co-workers as well, Love Actually works on those levels.
Yeah.
High production value film. It makes you sad. Yes, we could sit here and itemize all the reasons it's politically problematic, but it's also the kind of film that works for the season and stirs in all those themes of love, you know, love not working out the way you'd hoped, family, reconciliation, death, it stirs all of that in and wraps it up nicely with a beautiful London winter aesthetic.
Yeah, and also I guess with that one, I'm like, look, there are so many storylines. If you're watching it with your family, you're probably going to like at least one of them. So you can kind of get through it.
Everything. Yeah, and you make a really good point as well, where Christmas films are supposed to be able to touch anyone, as opposed to most films that seem to try and segment off the audience.
Mm.
Christmas films tend to be able to be watched by kids and grandparents in the one room. So they tend not to be too salacious. They tend to not be filled with violence or swearing. Now, of course, there are exceptions. There are Christmas horror and Christmas pornography. But generally, the mainstream Christmas films are the ones that are G-rated.
Alrighty. So, I mean, the other thing is... So you've watched 1,000. What's a Christmas movie that, you know, most people wouldn't know about but you found was unexpectedly good?
That's a very good question. Look, I really like an old Christmas film, which I think if you're interested in film theory, you may have heard of it, but you probably wouldn't have seen it because I certainly hadn't until I started researching, which was Christmas in Connecticut from the 1940s. It's a film about a woman who's a writer for a magazine. She lived in Manhattan. Her life is as a single woman who is writing these sort of wonderful home life pieces for a magazine about her picture-perfect life in country Connecticut. None of this is true. But her boss decides that she's going to have a war hero over for dinner in her perfect Christmas farm.
Okay.
So she has to assemble this perfect life to sell to her boss. And it's kind of got those screwball comedy aspects as well. What's interesting about it, though, is that for the 40s, it was actually quite progressive that a single woman who's a writer assembled this whole fake life to do her job. But at the end of it, she doesn't actually really want that life, which is she prefers her life as a single writer. And I think that makes an interesting social point for the 40s with a Christmas backdrop.
Oh, all right. Christmas in Connecticut. Okay, I'll check that one out.
It was remade in the 90s with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You probably don't want to mix the two up.
Okay. 1940s, Christmas in Connecticut. So, yes. Okay, so the other thing is, I guess, did you find out anything unexpected about our culture from watching all these movies?
Look, I found some things that surprised me, such as the enormous number of single parents in Christmas films. There are so many Christmas films where there's either a single mother who ends up finding love or a single father who's been widowed looking for love, even though they don't know they need love. But they've lost the spirit of Christmas. This single parent thing seemed disproportionate, even though we know single parents are common. The disproportionate number in Christmas films I found was quite an interesting trend. When I analysed it, it starts to make hints towards things such as ideal family life is a nuclear family, hence why all these single parents are always coupled off at the end just in time for Christmas. So most Christmas films actually tend to be quite conservative in regards to family dynamics.
All right. Huh. How interesting. Okay, so I guess I've got to ask you now, which one's your favourite?
I would say Love Actually. I really like it. It still makes me cry, and I've seen it probably 4 times. I did come up with a list, listeners can Google it, of my top 75 Christmas films, which I think out of 1,000, 75 are worth watching. That's about the ratio.
Oh,
if you think about that, only 75 I'd feel comfortable recommending to you.
Right. So, sorry, 0.75% of Christmas movies are worth watching.
Yeah, the rest are trash.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Boring old dogs or cats trying to save Christmas, which are even worse than trash. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep that in mind. All right. So that was advice for, you know, watching Christmas movies. And what we got out of that is I'm going to check out Christmas in Connecticut, the 1940s version. That was the brilliant Lauren Rosewarne there. And she has written a book analysing 1,000 Christmas movies. It's called Analysing Christmas in Film. It's from, the subtitle is Santa to the Supernatural. And, you know, it's an academic book, but I don't know. I might actually pick it up. I might have a look at that.